This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There were a lot of big time performances over the weekend, both in the college ranks and in the pros. We have our Monday MVP poll up on Twitter. If you want to, you can post in our visitors' comment section of the Facebook page. Or you can tell us which game was most significant to you and use the hashtag Monday MVP so that we know. Which one's got the most ripple effects, whether it be a specific college game that completely created chaos or in the NFL, the fact that the Saints have recreated themselves both offensively and defensively. Mark Ingram with 131 yards rushing and three touchdowns, a career high for him. He had his way with the Bills defense. It was all about feeding Ingram. And when it wasn't Ingram, then it was Alvin. So the Saints had six rushing touchdowns and 300 yards with that ground game. Amazing. On the road in Buffalo, that's exactly what you want when it's cold. You want a team that's built for the rough, the tough, the physical, as opposed to always being predicated on rhythm and timing, which is what they've been for the last several years. Not to mention they had to score a ton of points to overcome and overcompensate for the weaknesses of their defense. How about Adrian Claiborne? Six sacks of Dak Prescott as the Falcons take advantage of no Tyrone Smith, protecting Dak Prescott's blind side, and they get to him eight times. Prescott is going to be black and blue, sacked eight times, and six of those from Claiborne. He also forced a couple of fumbles, recovered one of them. He was a beast. He got my vote for Monday MVP. And honestly, more than the Cowboys missing Ezekiel Elliott, he's the face that people are going to point to. I say not having Smith on the offensive line and also being without linebacker Sean Lee for most of the game were far greater losses for the Cowboys than Elliott. They have a stable of running backs. They've been prepared for Elliott's suspension going back to the beginning of the year. How about Case Keenum? He did have two interceptions late. But if you were wondering when we might see Teddy Bridgewater, it's not going to be this week or maybe anytime soon. We'll see. I just like when the Vikings score touchdowns because we get such creative TD celebrations. Today it was leapfrog. In the past it was the duck, duck, goose. DeMarco Murray as well. And come up, you'll hear what DeMarco Murray did to help the Titans rally for a victory. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Whether you want to vote in our poll or you want to tell me what game was the most significant for you this weekend in football, and then Facebook as well. We're inside the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Both the Seahawks and the Colts are under fire for not following the steps required by the NFL's concussion protocol. Let's go back to the Seahawks first, and then we'll get to Jacoby Brissett and the Colts from Sunday. If you remember on Thursday Night Football, Seahawks and Cardinals, Russell Wilson was in, out, and then back into the game in record time and never actually got checked for concussion symptoms before he raced back onto the field. So already, even if Russell Wilson doesn't have a concussion, the fact is the Seahawks skipped the steps. And everybody could see that they skipped the steps. Isaac, who doesn't even watch football, knew they skipped the steps and described the whole thing as it played out on Thursday night. Here's what happened. Wilson got hit hard by Carlos Dansby. It was a hit to the chin. So we're not talking about top of the helmet, top of the head, anything like that. But a hit to the chin, which can jar you, obviously,
Wilson!
And can create a concussion. It can do that, even if it's less likely. So he didn't show any obvious signs of a concussion, but the referee in this game has the authority to be able to send him off just to get checked. And so he did. And why not? Referee Wald Anderson said, Wilson, go get tested. He probably didn't yell, Wilson! That would have been funny through his microphone, though. But he sends him off to the sidelines to get checked. Now, the NFL concussion policy tells you that a guy cannot return to practice or play, whichever the case happens to be, unless a team doctor and the independent I was going for a neurologist, and then I was going to say neurological consultant, which is actually the term, and I just got stuck at neuro. All right, so the...
In my brain.
Got stuck in my brain. I'm not the one who has the concussion. The independent neurologist has to clear him. The team doctor has to clear him. But the reason why there's an independent there is because the team doctor maybe could be talked into letting this guy go back on the field without actually being cleared to do so. This is why there is an independent doctor on every single sideline. And now we have the tent in 2017. So here's what happened. Russell Wilson got sent off the field by the referee. He was supposed to get in the tent, sit down, get checked. Except that he sat down. The tent was supposed to be pulled over him. But then before the medical officials even got there, he gets up and then books back onto the field and replaces Austin Davis after one snap. Now, he was on the field for two more plays. The Seahawks then punted. And during that change of possession, Russell did get into the tent and actually stay there and wait for the medical professionals to check him out.
I had doubt in the play call.
But the problem, you don't get to have doubt. You don't make the calls in this particular case. The Seahawks are expected to face consequences because an official removed Wilson from the game, but he essentially just left for appearance's sake, missed one snap, and then went back on the field without getting cleared. I don't know if he was intentionally trying to trick the referee or just felt like he was okay and so no biggie. But the point of having the doctors there, the medical officials there, is so that the quarterback himself, the athlete himself, does not make this call. And the Seahawks could face a massive fine. Again, he was supposed to go through protocol. He did not. Period. End of story. That right there is a violation. Even if he's fine, he's not allowed to make that determination himself, and he's certainly not allowed to check himself back into the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, fast forward to Sunday afternoon, and Colts quarterback Jacoby Brissett also has to go to the concussion tent on the sideline after he takes a hit from a Steelers defender. All right, so he's scrambling on third down. This is late in the third quarter. He takes a hit to the back of the head, and you can see him down there. He actually has his hands on his head. He's down there, and he looks like he took a nasty shot to the back of his head. So again, scrambling, he kind of turns his body. He gets hit by a defender. He stays down on the ground, kind of rolls over, but you can see he's almost crouched in a fetal position for a second there. He's got his hands up toward his head. Immediately, he walks off the field with a trainer or a member of the training staff. Okay, so he does come off the field, clearly in pain. But this is how quickly he got cleared. I'm using my air quotations. Scott Tolzien takes the field on the Colts' next series. And then before he can even take the snap, Brissett's like, no, man, I gotcha. Tags him out, says, I'm good. Anyway, so it was very quick. And here's the kicker. He's cleared to go back on the field. Theoretically has gone through concussion protocol. But after the game, guess what? he's not meeting the media because he's actually in the concussion protocol. Huh. So he was fine during the game, but after the game, they determined that he wasn't fine because he was having concussion symptoms after the game, which would have been another quarter plus. I wish I could tell you that Chuck Pagano said shed some light on the situation, but he absolutely shed no light on the situation.
He was going through the protocol. And so we were on defense, obviously. There was a timeout. There was some extra time. Scotty started warming up as soon as, you know, Jacoby came out. You know, because, shoot, we could have lost him, you know, for the entire game. So he went through the protocol and passed it and, you know, got back out there in time to run that series.
Does he have to ask somebody, hey, can I get back out there? Or once he's been cleared, he can run right past everybody and say, told him to get out?
Yeah, as long as the clock's not running and, you know, we're not in the middle of a play. You know, so we were fortunate the way that things worked out, and Docs did a great job, and he went through the, you know, proper procedures through the protocol and got back out there.
So that's Chuck Pagano's explanation, which essentially tells you absolutely nothing. It was quick. It was during a stretch where the defense was on the field. And so Brissett somehow got cleared during the game in a brief stretch. Looked like they were going to have to move forward with Scott Tolzien. Except all of a sudden, clock's not running, so out trots Jacoby. Now, he was having a great game. The Steelers did come back and win, but he was having a good game. Except that how does he end up in concussion protocol after the game if he's fine? I'm sure in some instances there are delayed symptoms, but that's a little bit too convenient, don't you think? And actually, the NFL got royally criticized on Twitter by Chris Nowinski, who is the co-director of Boston University Center for the Study of CTE. And he said this. He actually tweeted the video of Jacoby getting hit in the back of the head and tweeted, NFL concussion protocol is a fraud. That's how he starts his tweet. It's a good thing he has 280 characters. QB Jacoby Brissett goes back in after showing the clearest concussion signs of the season. This again is from the doctor's tweet. Helmet to helmet hit, holds head, then goes limp, then needs help up. He finishes with this. You don't need a protocol to hold this player out for the game. Check the tape. That's coming from a doctor. The NFL concussion protocol is a fraud. Now, granted, Russell Wilson took matters into his own hands and decided, I don't have time for this. I'll wait until the series is over. And he went back in himself. I don't know if any coaches knew. Looked like he was just tricking the referee and was getting back out on the field after missing a snap. But in the case of Jacoby Brissett, how do you get cleared and then an hour later you're in concussion protocol? That definitely raises some red flags. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a neurologist. Maybe it can happen. But no doubt the NFL is going to look at that one, especially when you're getting called out by high-profile doctors who know exactly what to look for and have worked with athletes who've suffered traumatic brain injuries and the long-term effects of them. So both the Seahawks and the Colts are under fire. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Take our Monday MVP poll at A-Law Radio or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and you'll see a bunch of these videos that we're talking about, the Bears challenging themselves into a turnover, the amazing touchdown grab from Marquise Goodwin just a few hours after he and his wife lost their baby boy. Also, a couple of the cool videos with a salute to service this weekend. It was Veterans Day on Saturday. I heard from so many of you. Thank you so much for your kind words. I want to thank you, not the other way around, and you all send me such nice tweets. So a lot of spotlight on the veterans this weekend, which I absolutely loved. Coming up, there were a few situations, both college and pro, late in the game where the outcome was hanging in the balance, which provided some great drama. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
He was going through the protocol.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
There were some amazing games that had fantastic finishes with implications for streaking and division leads and all that kind of jazz. Here we are in week number 10, where people other than us who do this for a living start to scoreboard watch and standings watch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. Don't look now, but the Jags and the Titans are still on top of the AFC South, and they both stayed there on Sunday with rallies late in their games. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, I was extremely pleased that this was not a game that was going to go into overtime and end in a tie with the Chargers. Though, if you consider these two teams and the propensity the quarterbacks have to throw interceptions or make mistakes at the worst possible times, it was a possibility. Nope, no ties, because ties in the NFL suck. Instead, Jaguars were, well, they were relying on that defense yet again to make a big play when they desperately had to have it.
Rivers drops the throw against a four-man rush. Fires deep downfield along the left sideline, and that ball is picked off by A.J. Boye. It's a 40. He's running it back. It's a 45-yard line of the Chargers. It's a 35, the 30, the 20. A.J. Boye at the 10-yard line. Dives toward the end zone. He's going to get knocked out of bounds at about the 2-yard line of the Chargers. Nortman will hold it. Lambeau has not missed as a Jaguar. Brad gets it down. Lambeau kicks it up. And it is good. He didn't hit it very well. It barely got over, but it is good. Lambeau is good from 30 yards away, and the Jaguars have beaten the Los Angeles Chargers at Everbank Field.
Listen to those fans. Frank Frangie with the call on the Jaguars radio network. So, yes, they've won three in a row. They keep pace atop the AFC South, and typical of the Chargers, there's some late mistake, and also there's always a field goal involved when the Chargers lose in heartbreaking fashion. So, you had A.J. Boye with a huge interception. The defense has been leading the way for the Jags this entire season. And they continue to surprise people, I think. It was almost like the crying wolf situation with the Jaguars where, oh, it's this year. They're going to be the hot young thing. No, it's next year. Okay, no, they're going to have a breakthrough season. And then they just continue to let you down until you don't believe it. But now, actually, here they are. And they remain on top of the AFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you have not seen some of the videos that Tom has tweeted from our show account, After Hours CBS, many of them are the tributes that were made on Sunday through the NFL Salute to Service program. And as I was talking about the Jaguars, I saw this one pop up. They were led onto the field by their strength and conditioning intern and a Purple Heart recipient who also has an artificial leg. So make sure you check that out. Lots of amazing videos that remind you what really matters and what was so important about the NFL games and some of the other games on Saturday as well, the college games, which was actually Veterans Day. So that was the Jaguars, how they survived and got the victory against the Chargers. How about the Titans, who are also getting into this zone where they've got to make some late comebacks? Marcus Mariota is becoming more and more comfortable to him as the Titans were taking on the Bengals. By the way, it's a good thing A.J. Green wasn't suspended because he had a big touchdown grab.
Mariota looking, firing to Murray at the three. Murray dives, touchdown, Titans! DeMarco Murray made the catch! DeMarco Murray broke the plane! Three touchdowns on the day for DeMarco, and the Titans take the lead with 36 ticks to go.
Mike Keith with the call on the Titans radio network certainly helps when you have guys like Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray, as well as Marcus Mariota, who are mobile and who can give you another wrinkle and another look. DeMarco Murray is one of our candidates for Monday MVP. Three touchdowns for him. That one was through the air in the final minute to get the Titans past the Bengals 24-20. And now Tennessee has got four straight wins, again, to stay on top and tie with the Jags in the AFC South. Mariota, 264 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Plus the another 50 yards on the ground. And that Tennessee offense can be dynamic. They've obviously had some stops and some starts, but they like where they are here. They're 4-1 at home as well, which is a nice home field advantage. After hours on CBS Sports Radio, that takes care of the AFC South. What about the AFC North? This was the game we talked about with Jacoby Brissett, who should have been in concussion protocol and was not. Well, the Colts get up 10-0 in this game, and in fact, we're up 17-3 in the third quarter on their own field. But the Pittsburgh Steelers find a way to grind their way back in. We know the experience of the Bees, Bell and Brown and Ben, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster, one of the fantastic rookie stories of 2017. If you're the Colts, maybe you could tell this was coming.
Steelers trying to get into field goal range. Ben with a big rush. He steps up. He starts running. He throws the ball and it's caught. There's Antonio Brown loose in the secondary. He's at the 30, the 25, the 20, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 18-yard line. What a great job by the quarterback under severe pressure to keep his poise and find number 84 for the big gainer. From the right hash, Canada with a snap, Barry with a hold to decide this football game, hopefully, in Pittsburgh's favor. Good snap, ball down, kick on its way. The Boz comes through, and the Pittsburgh Steelers come from a big hole and win a very important game.
Steelers have also put together four consecutive wins. They're now at 7-2 atop the AFC North. It took a big-time scramble and a chuck and duck, essentially, to Antonio Brown from Ben Roethlisberger with 35 seconds to go, and then Chris Boswell finishes it off. You know, he had missed a field goal on the previous possession, so big time for Boswell to get some redemption there. This was a back-and-forth game. It was not a pretty win. It was not aesthetically pleasing for the Steelers, but a win is a win is a win is a win, and they are now 7-2. While we're talking about fantastic finishes, it might have been the game of the weekend in college football. You can argue for sure. I do not mind. But the way that Bama got pushed to the limit by Mississippi State brought out the best in Alabama, as it tends to do.
Damian Harris, who had a nice block on that last play, is watching now as the throw is caught. Devontae Smith across the middle. He's taking it in. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Alabama. 26 yards with 25 seconds remaining.
It is now set at the 34. Last play, barring another penalty, here's Fitzgerald. Back pedals to midfield. Steps up, loads up, throws that one out of the back of the end zone. Too strong. That is it. Alabama survives.
Eli Gold with the call on the Alabama radio network from Learfield Sports. Their preparation, the fact that so many of these guys, even the young guys, have been on stages like this, under the lights, prime time, hostile territory. This one coming in Starkville, Mississippi, where the cowbells will drown you out. You'll hear them in your sleep. I talked to some friends of mine who were there at the stadium on Saturday night, and they said they were still dealing with the ringing ears after all of the cowbells. But that's how those fans create a home field advantage, except that Jalen Hurts and his stable of running backs, they were able to find seams, and they never looked rattled. They never looked like they had lost their poise or their cool. And again, that's the benefit of always being prepared in a Nick Saban system, but also being used to that kind of an atmosphere. It doesn't scare them. It doesn't intimidate them. This is what Alabama does. You have to be ready to play in those kinds of games. And so the Tide moved to 10-0 and very likely will take over the number one spot in the college football playoff rankings, but that is yet to be determined. Some great finishes.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I see you, Cleveland. The Browns hung tough in this game for quite a while. So they were able to come back from 17-10 down to take a 24-17 lead. And then the Lions, over the course of the end of the game, scored touchdowns on three of their last four drives. And that was kind of the difference, is that the offense for the Browns really, really stalled. So after their last touchdown, in which they got the 24 points, it was early in the second half. They went three and out, three and out, three and out. They finally converted on a fourth down. So they were about to go three and out again, but this was now four down territory late in the game. They finally convert on a fourth down. They extend the drive, and first and goal on the 4-yard line, DeShone Kizer gets intercepted. And so, well, at that point, it's pretty much, I wouldn't say it's out of reach, but they would have had to do that plus the onside kick and la, 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 la. There's about a minute 20 left to go in the game at that point. The Lions were able to take advantage of that second half, that stretch in the second half where they couldn't do anything with the ball. And the Lions offense was hot and it stayed hot. Dan Miller is the voice of the Detroit Lions on their radio network. And then you hear Matt Stafford after that game. He's 17 of 26 in this one, about 250 yards with three touchdowns. He did have a pick, and he was under a fair amount of pressure from Cleveland. Golden Tate with a big touchdown, and if you didn't see his celebration afterwards, it was a salute. And it wasn't just any old salute. It was a legitimate military salute. The video that producer Tom tweeted from the Lions, or retweeted from the Lions, After Hours CBS. It's now on our Twitter, and I've gone through and watched it a couple of times. It's pretty amazing. Golden Tate brought in members of the various branches of the military to teach him how to do a proper salute as a TD celebration. And so he went through the training, and they showed him how to do it. And the whole thing, just in about a minute video, just really neat that he spent some time with veterans and wanted their help and then saluted them and honored them with his TD. I'm glad he scored a touchdown because it would have stunk if we didn't get a chance to see it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. What was the most significant moment of Sunday or Saturday? So regardless, whichever college or pro game it happened to be, what was the most significant game, most significant outcome, maybe, of the football weekend? Andy is in Texas. Andy, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to find out what was going on with the Giants. I mean, they are just terrible. It's so weird that, they were supposed to be the NFC winning team of the North, but they're just terrible right now. I realize
that. And you're just figuring that out now?
Well, no, I saw that they lost, I know they lost the receivers and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. My goodness, they're just terrible. And actually, I'm not a Giants fan. I'm actually an Eagles fan. I'm from South Jersey. But they are just, are they looking to get a new quarterback or something like that? I don't know.
I don't know if this all falls on the feet of Eli Manning. I mean, there are some, as any quarterback would tell you, some bad throws. There are some throws that he'd like to have back, some decisions. I think in the case of the offense, certainly having lost so many pieces like they did, but the defense has been a major disappointment too. I mean, these are guys that last year carried the team at times. We knew the offense had issues, and they didn't really address the issues in the offseason other than bringing in Brandon Marshall. That was kind of the big prize of their free agency. But Marshall got hurt. OBJ didn't start the year and then got hurt. They've lost other receivers at times. But they never really did anything else to address the offense. So, no, I don't know that they're going to be making a quarterback change right now. They may go looking in the offseason, but they've drafted young quarterbacks that they're not even sure might end up being the heir to Eli Manning. Really, Ben McAdoo's probably not going to survive this. It's a situation where his defenders have left. I mean, some of them have just literally left the facility or left games. So the defense is pretty ticked at him. There were reports last week, that you know, there was a lot of dissension inside the Giants locker room. Those are reports that some of the players inside the locker room then disputed, but they said they know where they came from, and they believed it was the secondary. Landon Collins actually said those reports and those issues are inside the defensive secondary. And so, yeah, I mean, there have been all kinds of issues. McAdoo suspended guys, and they've been accused of quitting and everything else. So it's a full-blown disaster.
You know, you think about this, too, is after that loss tonight or today, how quiet that locker room must have been. I'm sure nobody said nothing in that locker room. There's no way that somebody's sitting there like, oh, we got to pick our heads up. I guarantee you that it was totally quiet, and they just picked up their stuff and went on the bus or whatever. I guarantee you nobody said nothing, because there's no way you can lose to this San Francisco team. It was just a team that is not that good. And
I mean, they're working hard, though. They're getting better, and the Niners have got great leadership, and they're attempting to figure it out themselves. So, I mean, you can say that there's no way the Giants should have lost to them, but the Giants only had one win themselves. And for them to
Denver, right? They beat Denver,
right? Who's now lost five in a row. So yeah, I mean they certainly have the pieces at times you would think defensively to be able to do the work, and then inexplicably nothing seems to come together. It's just a bunch of guys pulling in different directions. But regardless, that's not San Francisco. I mean, those guys are playing their arses off, and there's not a lot of talent there, but there's a lot of rejuvenation and a lot of pieces that they're hoping will grow up and come together. But the way that they're being led by Kyle Shanahan, I mean, they're definitely playing hard. So, oh, by the way, week 12, Andy, thank you so much for your phone call. Week 12 is when we're supposed to see Jimmy Garoppolo starting for the Niners. So they're going to go through their bye week, and then they're going to start him after that. So right now the Niners have the one win. But, you know, it's a win that felt like it was the Super Bowl for guys like Joe Staley after they knocked off the Giants on Sunday afternoon.
I've been a part of a lot of wins with this franchise over the 11 years I've been here. And this win, like, felt just as good as winning the NFC Championship. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Ah, that's pretty incredible thing to say. Felt just like winning the NFC Championship, knowing they were going to the Super Bowl. That's how good this victory felt for Joe Staley after what was a run of 9 consecutive losses.
World champions!
And they do it at home against the Giants, but they take care of business. So they're now 1-9, haven't had their bye yet. They're going into their bye week. And then after that, week 12, Jimmy Garoppolo, according to reports, will come out as their starting quarterback. So not CJ Beathard, who is the rookie, of course, who took over for Brian Hoyer. Hoyer, by the way, was doing mop-up duty for the Patriots. He's their only backup QB. But once the Patriots had the game well in hand, actually, I would say the game against the Broncos was well in hand probably about midway through the first quarter. But later in the game, Brian Hoyer took over and did the garbage time, and Tom Brady had a chance to retire early. 855-212-4227. Let's work in one more call here. Roger is in Washington State. Roger,
yeah,
welcome to After
most
Hours.
The most important game was one I didn't even hear score off until my mom called and told me, and that was the Missouri-Tennessee game. And I don't know if Missouri's in the SEC West or not, but they should be because they're west of Tennessee, you know. Mm. But it just proves the dominance of the SEC West and why I think they're the best division in football, college or pro, okay?
Okay.
And when you figure how bad Auburn beat Georgia and stuff, you know, and Alabama, their dominance over Florida and all this. And then it brought the end of the Butch Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it would be more significant or impactful because of what happened with Tennessee, how finally the AD, John Curry, has announced that Butch Jones has been fired, and now it's going to be Brady Hoke, talk about a blast from the past, taking over as the interim head coach. But, yeah, that might be the more significant piece of that particular game.
Yeah, and hopefully this new AD does a better job than Dave Hart does. He has $3, so I'm sure he will. Listen, we'll talk to y'all later and have a good day, okay?
Yeah, yes, thank you, Roger. I'm pretty sure he said he thinks the new AD will do a better job because he has three daughters. I'm not even going to touch that. Not with a 10-foot pole. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Although it makes about as much sense at face value as does the Titanic must sail. The Titanic must sail on. Oh, no, I was referring to the movie. No, I wasn't referring to the movie, he said. I was referring to the actual ship.
Nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
Did you know there was an actual ship called the Titanic?
I did.
And it sank?
I had lunch with some friends on Saturday, and I had to explain that whole thing to them, that that there are actually people out there who don't know that the Titanic was real. It was just over a century ago. We're not talking about, like, 57 AD.
He's an idiot. We're
talking about 1912, April of 1912. Anyway, yeah, producer Tom.
Where you been?
I don't know where these people have been. Millennials, they're ruining the world. I'm kidding. That was a joke.
You're not really, though.
No, I am kidding. Because I don't know who these people are that don't know that the Titanic is real. I mean, are they all?
They are mostly millennial, unfortunately.
Well, you people need to get with the program when it comes to your history, I believe. By the way, Missouri is in the SEC East, just for those of you who didn't.
He knew that, too. He just wanted to put them in the West. He just said they should be. Yeah, he said they should be in the West.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend. It's fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. Coming up, Bill Belichick has no time for your history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.